You know, not always do we have an easy road. It's like sometimes when we're walking along in our journey with the Lord, you know, the Bible says the land of promise was a land of hills and valleys. And you know, we have the hilltop experiences and we have the valley experiences. Where sometimes we can question, God, what are you doing? What's going on here? Why don't I have the joy that I had last week? Where did it go to? Why am I going through a struggle now when everything was really going great for me? Well, last time I spoke to you, I spoke about intercessory prayer and the idea of being able through prayer to birth something, whether in somebody's life or some situation, you literally birth it. It's a birthing process. And that's what Apostle Paul said when he told this certain group of people, the Galatians, that I'm concerned about what's going on. And now I've got to go back into this process again until Christ is formed in your life. And so There's a lot of things. The message this morning is going to be going along, it's tied in somewhat with what I spoke last time. And where my text is this morning is found in Genesis chapter 6. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. How do we get, you know, a lot of us have got promises from the God already. We know that God wants to do something in our lives. And how do we get from knowing that to actually getting there? And it's a process that goes on. And God is at work in our lives to do something. You know, He loves every single one here. I believe this morning, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that God is going to speak to your heart. Every single person here, God is going to speak to your heart this morning. And He's got something special for me, for you. Not because of me. Because He loves you. He loves you with an eternal love, a passion. He's passionate over you. He dances over you. He sings over you. And if you look at Psalms 139, it says all these thoughts that He has for you for good. They're innumerable. It's like the sand on the seashore. And that's the way God feels about you. He's looking at you. He's not looking for your failure. He's looking for your victory. Yes. He's looking for you to be an overcomer. Yes. And even as the angel of the Lord went to Gideon, this guy who was hiding out from the enemy, threshing out a little grain for his family, and he said, "Behold, you mighty man of valor." And that's the way God sees you. Every one of you, He sees you that way. It's not what you're doing now. It's not what you're going through now. He sees you as a victor. Hallelujah, because He's created that. He will bring it to pass. If you'll give yourself to Him, He'll bring it to pass in your life. All it takes is a yieldedness on our part. You say, "Well, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I can't do anything. I don't have any talents. I can't do anything." Think again. The God who created you will give you that which you have need of when the time comes to need it. Amen. Hallelujah. You can count on it. Praise God. Noah, chapter 8 of Genesis. It said, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. You ever been in a storm? Really serious storm? I can remember several years ago, probably would have been about 1974, three, somewhere in there. I was flying, I had a little Cessna 170, 172 on floats. And I had my three kids in the back seat. My dad was in the front seat. And I had a pretty good load for that plane. And we had to end up going down. Through some circumstances that I won't go into, the engine quit at about 700 foot elevation. And it was blowing. It was blowing out there in the waters. It was like 6 foot swells. And I can remember, you know, you train, you know, when you're flying, you're a pilot, you train to do the right things at the right time. And without even thinking about it, I knew I had to keep the thing so it didn't stall out on me. And I tried to get over with the altitude I had, to get over a little closer to the beach and then turn into the wind. And I was down just like that. And I remember hitting the top of the waves and skipping across. And then when I came down, I hit right down in the trough. And it just went... And it actually broke, had some tie wires on the floats to keep the floats from, you know, from swinging back and forth. And it snapped two of those wires. So here we were, all of a sudden, I'm sitting in these 6 foot swells, and my kids are in there, and my dad's in there, and he's having heart difficulties. He's popping nitroglycerin pills. And so again, all you can do is do what you can do. So I had him hold the controls in a certain way that would allow us to drift, hopefully, towards the beach. The problem is, the wind was coming partially off the beach. And so for a long period of time, we were just drifting down parallel. We sat out there in those waters for 2 hours before we finally got to shore. And during that time, you know, you wonder, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? This is a serious thing. Am I going to make it? You know, I got my kids here. You know, what are we going to do? You know, it ended up God was with us and we did all the right things and we ended up, you know, we were able to be saved from that storm. But you think about what it must have been like in the ark. Here God tells Noah to build this huge ark and load the animals in there. And it says, and God shut the door. He didn't shut it. God shut the door. So they were shut in. There was no windows looking out. The only window was looking up. The only window in it at all. And can you imagine the cataclysmic event that was taking place? God opened the fountains up, broke loose the fountains of the deep. It was like a cataclysmic earthquake-type activity that was going on as the fountains of the deep were opened up in the earth. And the rain started pouring down on them. And you can imagine, they're all shut up in this thing. They can't even see. And all of a sudden, it starts moving some, you know. And pretty soon, it's maybe rocking in the wind, you know, pretty seriously like. And they couldn't see anything. And they were in there. The last God spoke to them was right at the beginning there. He said, go into the ark. You know, and God shut the door. And they were in there for a long period of time. And there's no indication whatsoever that God ever spoke to them while they were in there. They were just going along, you know, during this, in this situation. And they weren't hearing from God whatsoever. But you know, there's a lot of different kinds of storms that you and I face. Not storms out in the water. We can have stormy marriages. We can have stormy situations with the kids. We can have stormy situations at work. There are different avenues. There's a lot of different kinds of storms that we can go through. And sometimes when you're going through a storm, it's easy to feel forsaken. I think the Lord has forgotten me, said a church member whom I was visiting in the hospital. In her mind, she could recall Hebrews 13:5 and quote it, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But in her heart, she felt lonely and abandoned. Where was her God? When would the storm end? Ever been there? Ever been there? Walking through something, you don't know what's coming up. You don't know. This seems like it's going on and on and on. There's no end to it at all. There's no hope whatsoever. Does God remember you? Does God remember you? You know, feeling forsaken is a normal human emotion. Every single one of us faces and experiences. The psalmist said, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Doesn't it seem to be that way sometimes? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? When I'm going through the difficulties and I really need you and I'm not sensing you at all. I'm just walking out there. It seems like I'm all by myself. Paul confessed that his troubles in Asia were so severe that he almost gave up on life. And Jesus, who experienced all of our human trials, cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, none of us is immune from that kind of experience. It happens to everyone. It happened to Jesus even. He experienced the very same things. Feeling desolate is nothing new. Are you going through that kind of experience right now? Is your church, is the body going through that kind of testing? It makes you wonder, where are you, God? Where are all the promises that have been spoken over this body of believers? Have we missed the mark? What are you doing? I'd like to look this morning into some different aspects of what God talked about when He remembered Noah. When He remembered Noah. Give a little background. Genesis 6, 5 to 8. Said, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Then it's this wonderful verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God commanded Noah to build an ark to save himself and his family and the animals of the earth. Not all the animals, but you know, a representative portion of each one. And he commanded, and it took a long time to build. I forget how many years. It was like 100 years or something it took. It took a long time to build this thing. But God told him to do it, and by faith, Noah did it. Hallelujah. Then in verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You are righteous before me. He was the only righteous man that God could find on the whole earth. The rest of them, they were all a horrible mess. There was no hope for them. To remember implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. To remember implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. Noah and his families have been together in the ark for over a year. You know, that's a lot of togetherness. You have all the animals in there. Probably stunk pretty good, too. I don't know what they did with the waste, whether there was some way getting overboard, whether they shoved it over in a pile or something. I don't know. But it was probably not a very pleasant experience. And you know, there's a lot of things that we go through in life are not always a very pleasant experience. Not always pleasant experience. I can remember one missionary whose son had gone off the deep end and became gay. And he died, and he was dying of AIDS. And he set his heart and he was turned away from God. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. And he literally gave up several years of his life to take care of his son. Even though his son would curse him to his face, even so, his son would say, why are you doing this to me? I don't want to have anything to do with God. He kept doing it. Day after day after day, as his son was getting worse and worse and worse and going down, till he was totally bedridden, he could do nothing. And I think it was something like the day before he died, he passed away. He gave his heart to Jesus. You know, you think about that. That's a long time to go through dark night. That's a long time to go through a storm. That's a long time to fight and fight and fight, and you don't see any results at all from what you're going through. But in the end, it was worth it because that one soul was going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. So to remember implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. There was no record that God spoke to them after they were closed in the ark. So there was maybe a little fear from some members of the family at least that maybe God didn't care for them anymore. You know, it just was going on endless, day after day after day. But God not only remembered Noah and his family, but he also remembered the animals that were in the ark. He loves the creatures, too, that he's created. Created for us, our enjoyment. He's created these animals. And they were included also in this covenant with Noah. Do we get impatient with God? We have our promises and it seems really slow in coming, or maybe not coming at all. In the meanwhile, we're facing our doubts and fears and are going through difficulties that just never seem to end. Just continually goes from day to day. And then sometimes in our promise, we can make the mistake of trying to save ourselves or to make the promise come true in our own strength. And you know, think about Abraham. God promised that he would have a son, and through that son would be a blessing to the whole earth. You know the story. And he made the mistake of listening to his wife. I'm not telling you it's good to listen to your wives, but not telling you that. But he made the mistake of listening to his wife and agreeing to take his or her maid as a wife and have a child through her. Tried to help God out. And in the process of helping God out, we have a problem that goes on and on and on right down to this present day. And if you look on the news, you see it going on TV. News today. It's going on. So, trying to take care of, save yourself, to try to fulfill this thing yourself, doesn't work. It won't work. It will come to nothing. The second idea, the word remember in Genesis 8:1, doesn't mean to call something to mind that may have been forgotten. You know, God can't forget anything because he knows the end from the beginning. Rather, it means to pay attention to fulfill a promise and act on behalf of somebody. He had made a commitment to Noah to save him and his family and the animals, and he had not forgotten. Remember, when God speaks a word, it's going to come to pass. He's not worried about it. You know, when his word is creative word. When he speaks something to pass, it's going to come to pass. No matter what, it's going to happen. It's going to occur because he spoke it. And the very fact of him speaking it makes it come alive. It's a live word. Hallelujah. Yes. And this live word is going to come to pass. And he doesn't sit there worry about, well, I wonder if that's going to come to pass now. You know, we might worry about something like that. But God doesn't worry about something like that. He knows it's going to come to pass. Amen. For example, God's promise, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, means that God doesn't hold our sins against us and treat us as sinners. God knows what we've done. You can't hide anything from God. He knows what we've done. But he chooses to forget it. And it makes it just like it's never happened at all. It never happened at all. When we come to him and ask forgiveness, it's just like it never happened at all. He forgets it. He puts it out of his mind. He doesn't hold it against us anymore. There are some things he chooses to do. It's good that he forgets. It's good that he's forgotten. Praise God. It gives us hope. We can be sure that God never forsakes or forgets his people. Not because of his promises, but also because of his character. God is love, and where there's love, there's faithfulness. He can never deny himself or his word. He's a faithful God. He can never change because he's immutable. He's perfect. God can't change for the better. And because he's holy, he can't change for the worse. We can depend on him no matter what our circumstances or no matter what we feel. It doesn't make any difference what we feel. Then the third idea there is to remember means to act on behalf of another. And in Genesis 19:29, it says, God remembered Abraham and rescued Lot from destruction. It's interesting. God remembered Abraham, but it was Lot that was in trouble. And he rescued Lot from destruction. It doesn't say, and God remembered Lot. No, it says, and God remembered Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had a relationship with God. Remember the story. When they went into the land, Lot and Abraham had so many possessions and herds and everything else that they were clashing together. There wasn't room for them both. And so Abraham told them, he said, okay, you choose. Will you go with the left hand or whatever, the right hand or whatever, and I'll do the opposite, you know. So Lot looked around. Oh, this looks like good land over here. Down in Sodom and Gomorrah, man, there was lots of stuff going on. It was a rich valley. There was all kinds of stuff down there. And, I'll take this part over here. And Abraham, you know, stayed where he was at. You remember the story. In Genesis 19, 28 and 29, the Lord had come to Abraham just like the day before and made the promise again about giving him a son, that Sarah would conceive and bear a son. Gave him that promise again. And then he spoke. There was three of them. I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ was one of them, and two angels. And so the two angels, they were going down to Sodom to really check it out, to see whether this was really going on. And it says the Lord stayed and talked with them. And Abraham basically interceded for those cities down there, saying something like this: you're going to wipe out all the good people with the bad? How about if there's 50 righteous in the city, will you save it because of 50? And he worked it all the way down to 10. In the end, there wasn't 10 people that were righteous down there at all. So then the Lord leaves. Genesis 19, 28 and 29, he said, then, this is Abraham, he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overflow. Then he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. I find it's interesting that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out. He had mercy on Lot, not because of Lot, but because of Abraham's intercession. There's consequences that happen. The result of the Lord's visit to Abraham was new hope and excitement, as Abraham and Sarah were joyfully anticipating the arrival of the Son of Promise. Hallelujah. Lot, however, lost everything when Sodom was destroyed. Yet he himself was saved, yet as by fire. You think about all of his possessions that he had. You know, he chose his own way. He's kind of a picture of a Christian that is very worldly, doesn't want to give up on the things of the world. He wants to enjoy what's going on, you know, it's like having one foot in the world and one foot in God's camp. You want to be saved, but you're out there in the world and you're enjoying those things of the world. That's what it's a picture of. And we find out the result of this thing too was his daughters gave birth to two sons whose descendants would be enemies of the Jewish nation. They would be enemies to Abraham's descendants. This was somebody that Abraham had took under, you know, under wing, and he came with them from Haran and up in that, you know, that area, Mesopotamia. And he, you know, worked with them and everything. But Lot never did have a real deep experience with God. It was totally a matter of God's grace and mercy that he was even delivered. Or I believe it wouldn't have been for Abraham. He would have been consumed in there too. Lot was conformed to the world, and all that he lived went up in smoke and was buried under ruins somewhere in the area around the Dead Sea. Lot is a warning to all believers not to love the world. Become friendly with the world or be stained by the world, because the day of reckoning finally comes. There's a day coming when we stand before God. The most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes. Not about church. Not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ. Is he living within us? Are we walking with him? Is he our God? Have we given ourselves totally to him? That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. The day of reckoning finally comes. 2 Peter 2, 6 to 10 gives us another illustration from the New Testament point of view. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered," now he calls them righteous lots, "who is oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by hearing and seeing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority." And I'll quit there. Romans 12:2 says, don't be pressed into the world's mold. Don't be pressed into the world's mold. It's important that we don't allow ourselves to be forced into the world's mold. Our mold should be Christ. Hallelujah. We don't want to be conformed to this world. Being conformed to this world will bring death and destruction. And we have the examples in the Old Testament that shows that. When they woke up one morning, all of a sudden, it happened, and they didn't know when it was going to come. All of a sudden, Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire and the judgment of God fell upon that place. We don't know the day or the hour. We need to be ready. We need to be like Abraham and have our hearts right with God. Hallelujah. While it is true that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of God's righteous judgment, it's also true that God's love for lost sinners is clearly seen in the story. Jesus didn't approve of the lifestyle of these men, yet they had space to repent. And God gives people a lot of times space to repent. The problem is you don't know when that's over. You don't know what the future holds. What's out there in the future? But remember this, that if there's not a change in our behavior and us turn to the Lord, there will be judgment that will come. And we will be accountable before the Lord. Did Lot deserve to be delivered? Of course not. Do any of us deserve really to be saved from the wrath to come? Any of us? Not really. But God's grace is given freely to us. He gives his grace freely to us. Hallelujah. "For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." 1 Peter 3:18. Christ didn't die for good people, for there are none. The Bible says all have sinned. All of you are turned away. There's no hope for any of us without God. He died for the ungodly and for the sinners. We may not have committed the same sins as they did in Sodom and Gomorrah, but we are sinners just the same. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot be saved from the judgment to come. Our situation is no different today. Jesus is still the friend of sinners. Still the friend of sinners. Remember when he went, they accused him of being with the tax collectors and the, you know, those people down there. Those, you know, we don't want to associate with those kind of people down there. But he associated with them that point them to the right direction. And you know, that should be our goal too. Those around about us, we should be pointing them to the right direction. Now, what was one of the other problems that Lot had? He said, basically, he punished himself by submitting to being down there in that hellhole. He could have walked out of there. He could have left the country. He could have went somewhere else. But he chose to stay there in the midst of all that degradation. So we need to watch where we're going too. Make sure that we don't stick ourselves in some place that's not good for us to be in. We need to move. There's a time to move. The time to flee temptation. There's a time to get out of where we're at. So we don't have to keep going through the same cycle of problems, you know, that we get into sometimes. Amen. It's like a cycle, you know, and it keeps coming back. And what is it? The idea of insanity is kind of like keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And it's not going to happen. You know, we need to be ready to move out of where we're at if that's what it takes. The inhabitants of the cities of the plain had no idea that they were awakening that morning to the last day of their lives. Life was going on as usual. Then the fire fell. When judgment comes, will you be like Abraham and not have to worry about the wrath of God? Or will you be like Lot, saved as by fire, or like the people of Sodom, will you be lost forever? Three different classifications. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just barely make it into heaven by my bootstraps and have nothing else. You know, it'd be great to be in heaven, yes. Better than not being in heaven. But that's not the way to go. You are taking a desperate chance, and you don't know where the judgment of God will come down on you, where you fit, whether you're going to make it or not. You don't know. You are walking on dangerous ground, and you don't want to go there. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Some of this I got from the Bible Exposition Commentary of the Old Testament. So God heard their groaning. Exodus 2:24. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. This talks about the children of Israel. They went into Egypt. And when they went into Egypt, Abraham already knew it. God showed Abraham that there was going to be a dark period coming for Israel. They were going to go there and they were going to be enslaved for 400 years. They were going to be spending 400 years there. But the reason, when I talk about prayer and when I talk about birthing something, Abraham birthed something in prayer and supplication before the Lord that the Lord answered, and he delivered Israel out of Egypt in a mighty way. And it says, so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. What does it mean by acknowledging? These are my people. They may not be doing the right thing, and they may be in a place that's bad right now, but they're my people. And I'm not going to abandon them. I'm going to honor my covenant with them that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I will not turn from that. So what about your storm? What does it mean for God to remember you? What does it mean for God to remember you? You're going through difficulties. You're going through things. And you really wonder, what's God up to? What's God up to in our church? I do not believe for a second that this building will contain all that God wants to do with this body of believers. I refuse to go there. Amen. And yet, we look and sometimes you wonder, God, what are you doing? Nothing seems to be happening. But you know, there's a time for everything. There's a purpose for everything. God does things in His timing. Hallelujah. And our goal is to look ahead, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. We don't give up. We keep going on. We may be walking through dark water sometimes and tight times sometimes. But God has not forsaken us. He has not left us. Hallelujah. And He will remember those things that were spoken over us by prophecy. Yes. He will not forget those things. Amen. It will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. So what about your storm? The aspects of it is falling. To remember implies a previous commitment made by God and announces the fulfillment of that commitment. The word remember doesn't mean to call something to mind that may have been forgotten, because God can't forget anything. Rather, it means to pay attention to fulfill a promise and act on behalf of somebody. Or to remember, it means to act on behalf of another. How do I qualify for this? I'm nobody special. God doesn't even know I exist. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? He knows you exist. He knows exactly where you're at. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He will never give up on you as long as you have breath. As long as you are walking and you have not stopped breathing, He will not give up on you. He is faithful. He will do everything in His power, and He's waiting for us to do our part now. He's waiting for us to do our part. Will we acknowledge Him? Will we give ourselves to Him and say, God, yeah, I'm going through problems, I'm going through difficulties, and maybe I haven't done the right thing so many times, but I'm going to head towards You. I'm going to start going this way. You know, we can stumble and we can fall in our lives. It's okay. Get up. Start over again. Don't give up. Don't stay down. That's a loser. That's a quitter that stays down. Get back up and fight again. Hallelujah. God has a victory for you. God wants to touch your body. He wants to touch your soul. He wants to touch your spirit. He wants to equip you. He wants to empower you. He wants to use you in a mighty way to reach this community and to reach the world. Hallelujah. And He's not giving up on you. Not given up on you. I'm nobody special. I'd like to get a look at the example of the thief on the cross. What was he? He was a thief. Man, he's done all the wrong things. He's crucified with Christ up there. The other thief, he railed on Jesus and everything and said, what are you doing this for? This guy's special. He said, there's something about him. And he turned to Jesus and he said, remember me on the day you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Now what grounds did he have? What did he do that was anything special, different from you or I? Nothing. You see, it's not about anything that we do. It's about what He's already done. He's already given forgiveness. He's provided. He's covered all of our sins and He's forgot them. And all we have to do is acknowledge that and say, thank You, Lord, for forgiving me my sins. Thank You for reaching out and grabbing a hold of me and taking me on this journey with You. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Will God remember you? Will God remember you? God created you and has a plan for your life, and He is more interested in filling it than you are in receiving it. He is faithful and He will bring it to pass in His time. Our job is to seek His face and bring ourselves into complete alignment with Him. Yes, Lord. Whatever You're doing, I'm lining up myself with You. That's the direction I'm going. Hallelujah. I may not be there yet. I may have a long ways to go even, but I'm headed that direction. I can remember times when God has directed us, you know, to do something. We didn't know exactly where it was going, but you start heading in that direction. You don't know where the journey's going to end, but you go that way and the Lord leads and guides you until you find, you know, it happens. It just comes together then all of a sudden. Praise God. God will remember His previous commitment and fulfill the promise that He gave you. Remember, it might come a little different than what you expected. The promise may come maybe a little different than what you expected. It might all not quite look exactly like you had thought about. But His ways are higher than our ways, you see. And when it comes, it'll be glorious. Amen. And it'll be wonderful. Will God remember you? Will God remember you? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank You this morning because You haven't forgotten Your people. Lord, we may be down in the boat and things might be getting a little rocky at times. We may be out by ourselves, Lord. Or as a group, Lord, we're in the boat. Doesn't make any difference. But God, You're sovereign over all things, and You are bringing us into the place that You want us to be. And Father, I believe that every single person here this morning, that You are actively at work in their lives. You will supply all their needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And You will bring to pass those things that You have promised and that You have decreed in Your world. And Lord, this morning, we align ourselves with You. We take that step, Lord, that we are going with You or we are aligning ourselves with You, and we will not change from that purpose, no matter what we feel, no matter what we sense, no matter what, we are going to hang on to that promise, hallelujah, and not turn loose of it. Father, bless Your people. Touch Your people this day. Minister to every need, Lord, whatever that need may be. And have Your way, Lord. You have promised to take us all the way through, Lord, and You're going to do it. Yes. You're not leaving anyone behind. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, our trust and our confidence is in You this morning. Amen. We give You praise. We give You thanks. Amen.